Sports Radio 1290. CFRW, Winnipeg.
Got it inside! And five! Touchdown!
A division of Bell Media. Sports Radio 1290 presents the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. 3 hours of in-depth analysis, insight, and opinion into Canada's game. Now, here's Drew, Richard, and Ezra.
Good morning, Winnipeg. Good morning, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live this morning at sportsradio1290.com, good morning, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. T-minus 3 hours now until the public on sale of season tickets begins. We're going to be joined by representatives from True North Sports and Entertainment in the final hour of today's program. Scott Brown is going to join us at 11 a.m., and Jim Ludlow is going to join us at 11:45, take us right up to the end of the program, right up until the season ticket drive becomes open to the public. I am Drew Mindell, the host of this program, joined in studio by Ezra Ginsberg, who we're now calling the Diva, Richard Pollock, who we're still calling Richard, and the operator of the R-Desk, Michael Remus. Gentlemen, good morning, everybody.
Hey now.
Hey now, Drew. Why, I don't understand why I'm the Diva.
You missed the pre-show meeting. You come in with an entourage.
Well, when...
You want a priority on the Timbits?
When you're busy sending a virus to 50,000 to 100,000 computers to ensure that you get season tickets.
You know, very funny.
The Kornikova virus.
Is that the... Yeah. And Michael Remus, good morning. You're normally the operator of the R-Desk, joining us in studio for the first little while this morning.
Drew, I'm getting so used to sitting by the mic, it's tough for me to go back in the dungeon over there.
In the dungeon. Oh, he's... Okay, so we got Diva and the Ego on either side of me. And Richard, what are you?
Drew, you want your hat?
I do want my hat. It's amazing.
I'm good.
Three Thursdays ago.
Yeah, no one cares.
Okay, I'll tell you guys. It's a great story, but anyways, I'll spare the story on the hat.
Is that good?
For me, it is. I'm glad I found the hat.
Here, I'll make a long story short. You left it here 2 weeks ago and found it today.
There you go.
But I've looked...
Way to go, Drew.
But I've been looking for it here. That's the thing I don't understand is where did it appear from?
You're more of a non-hat guy, Drew.
It's true, but I like the hat. I bought a hat. I bought a new hat. I want to wear it. It's reasonable.
Let's go.
Okay. Big show this morning. We're, of course, going to be focusing on two things. One, Stanley Final Game 2 goes tonight in Vancouver. Two, Drive to 13,000, the public sale, kicks off at 12 noon today. 7,100 tickets have been sold in the pre-sale, making a little bit over 5,800 available for the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands 50, that are...
55% of tickets have been sold.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think? You think there's going to be 50,000 people trying to get 5,000 seats at 12 noon
tonight? More than 50,000, probably around 100,000.
So that's not a good percentage if you're doing it. If you're an odds based guy.
Yeah, it's not a great percentage. That's true. You better have a quick internet. You better be ready to go. We'll be asking Scott Brown what step you can be at once you click the buttons.
Yeah.
You better have a Ticketmaster account set up. You better have practicing your mouse skills. What they've done in a tremendous way, obviously, is they've created a demand. This is a demand. This is
more than a demand. It's a frenzy, almost.
But think about it, Drew, if they were to say, no, we're going to expand the seats, we're going to put the tickets on sale later, that would have been the wrong way to go about it. And they've gone about it the right way. They have 15 tickets available, for the most part. I mean, and what you're doing is you're creating an absolute and total demand for this product. It's not readily available, and that's what you want. And we're going to ask Scott Brown later. We already have a lot of our questions prepared. We're going to ask Scott Brown later. Is there going to be a wait list? Because this is going to be like the Green Bay Packers, where the season tickets are gone, and now remember, these are 3 to 5 year commitments. So these tickets aren't going to be available for 3 to 5 years.
Richie, I don't know.
You have a question?
No, I don't.
Question from the guy.
I don't have a question, but a
question from the guy you probably won't get in.
Is Greg Sellinger on the line?
No. Drive to 13 just tweeted out an update. P1 is sold out and will not be available for general on sale.
And that's what we were hearing. Now, we were also hearing P2 was sold out.
P2, all other categories will be available at 12 noon today. So that just came over over on Twitter, courtesy of the @drive to 13.
They've done a great job on there, by the way. Well,
I mean, we'll talk throughout the course of the day about this campaign and the marketing and everything else, because, the words really fail me about how outstanding of a job it is that they've done here.
Drew, this is about... I was just going to chime in after what Richie said about the luxury boxes. Now, I don't think anybody was at all concerned that these games would be sold out. At least I wasn't and you guys weren't. But the luxury boxes were something where people were saying, oh, you know, what's the demand going to be like? Are they going to sell them all out really quickly? I don't know what you guys have been hearing, but I was told that there's a really long waiting list.
Yeah.
Well, really long waiting list for those luxury boxes
And they've added new luxury boxes.
Right.
They're adding, correct. When the Moose played there last season, there were 48 luxury boxes. There's going to be 55 luxury boxes at the reconfigured MTS Center. So that is an addition that they're going to make to the MTS Center. We'll ask Scott Brown about that coming up in the final hour of today's program. But, I mean, luxury boxes, we're going to ask him about the sales on those. I hear they're going swiftly, and they're just at this point in time trying to sort of fit everybody in because the demand is so high.
Guys, based on the last few days since the announcement was made, the corporate and fan support has not only been good, it's just been overwhelming, and it's become a case of, are you going to be lucky enough to get a seat anywhere in that building? That's how high the demand is. The demand is ridiculous.
It strictly is going to be 100% luck. Everybody's going to be online at 12 noon, and everybody's going to be clicking the same buttons.
Yes.
And if you're the lucky one who gets through, and
it really is who has the internet, fastest internet.
Well, yeah, but in this day and age, nobody's using dial-up.
Make sure you have the World of Warcraft off. Make sure the Facebook is off. Make sure Drive to 13,000 is the only site that's open.
That's right. It's going to be a...
Make sure as these MySpace is closed.
Yeah, it'll be a chaotic 12 noon, that's for sure. Also on the program this morning at 10 o'clock, joining us live from Toronto, good friend of the program, Tim Campbell of the Winnipeg Free Press will join us.
Talk some hockey.
As I was saying off air, it's going to be nice to talk to Tim about some on-ice activity and not hypotheticals. Will they, won't they, who knows? They're coming back, we know that. Now it's time to talk about the front office, talk about the NHL scouting combine.
To quickly clarify, the 13,000 tickets was not something imposed by the National Hockey League. It was an idea proposed by True North. So for people to think that if they don't sell 13,000, which it's almost assuredly they will.
By about 12:30 this afternoon,
right,
probably.
If they don't, that wouldn't be a deciding factor.
No, so. But it's
a moot point.
Yeah. It's a moot point. But 13,000 is an interesting number because that number of season tickets sold guarantees that they're eligible for revenue share.
Now, if you make too much money, too much being relative term, because you want to make as much money as you can, then you might be disqualified from revenue sharing. I believe it's in the top 15 revenue earners can't be in revenue sharing. I was trying to open the CBA this morning. My computer wouldn't open a PDF for whatever reason.
Because you have a lousy Mac.
Drew, do you think there's going to be a drive to 13,000 for the Britney Spears concert on July 4th?
I thought you bought all 13,000 seats already.
Drew's actually at 12,584 for his personal drive to 13,000 Big Macs.
Everybody good? Everybody good?
What about the Zinger sandwich? KFC has a Zinger sandwich. I love that. After GM Craig Heisinger. I love
it. Have you been to KFC?
No, I bought it recently, and I want to taste it and have it maybe for lunch or dinner or both.
Not breakfast?
But you know what, Drew, also 13,000...
You don't want any KFC breakfast sandwiches?
13,000 is an interesting number because it's 1,000 times Timo Solani's number.
Well,
which is
in his
obvious,
first season or in his last season in Winnipeg?
First season.
There was 8 after, so that would make no sense.
I'm not sure what that stat has to do with anything, but okay, it is interesting.
And just to note also that there's going to be about 2,000 seats. I think they're capping it at 13,000, which would mean 2,000 seats for single games. Remember, see, single games are going to be at a 40% increase in price.
Yes, but it won't be 2,000, though, because as you made a good point, attendance at the MTS Center is 15,000, including the luxury boxes.
That's what I was wondering. Okay.
So it's only going
to
be
about... Which has what? Like, the luxury boxes are 20 to 24 people per
20,
box.
20 seats per luxury box times 50 suites, but even though it's a little more, is 1,000 people.
Yeah.
So there's really going to be 1,000 or so walk-up tickets.
Well, hold on.
When single-game tickets go on sale.
Drew, does that mean if True North... We'll have to ask either Brown or Jim Ludlow about this, but if the MTS Center and True North are increasing the amount of luxury boxes, does that mean that the overall capacity of the MTS Center is going to actually be slightly above 15,000?
It'll be a little bit above. It might be 15,100 as opposed to the 15,015 now.
They wouldn't be taken from the upper.
They're not taking away seats from the general populace. Yeah. They're just, what it is right now, from what I understand, is the party suites, which are in the suite level, and those are available on a game by game basis, or had been available on a game by game basis
for people who like to party.
Yeah, exactly. And those who like to do shots are available on a. Those are slightly larger than some of the other suites, so they're going to reduce those in sizes in order to accommodate the expansion in terms of the number of suites available for full time sale.
Less is more.
Less is more. But I mean.
And, don't forget, guys, the team and the NHL are required to hold a certain number of tickets, for all the players and, their families.
That's
so there's really going to be less than 1,000, I think.
Yeah, how many? That's right, Raymond.
I think it's about 100 a game, maybe.
What? That's it?
100 a game is what they have to hold back.
So 900 tickets are going to be available for the public?
Apparently on the single-game ticket. So whenever single-game sales go on, and that will be sometime in September.
That's for three to five years. Crazy. It's great. It's absolutely terrific for the city.
Their marketing, I mean, their marketing has been unbelievable.
Marketing, and that we have given them full credit because they've done an absolutely incredible job. But let's also give credit to the public right now.
Oh, yeah. The Moose season ticket holders stepped up and bought, you know, 7,100 seats.
And the people who got in there.
Guys, this goes back to what we were saying on Tuesday night at Tavern United.
It felt like it was a month ago.
It really does.
If they're going to sell 13,000 season tickets, which they will, and they're going to sell out, basically that means there's going to be a sellout for a minimum of 5 years. It's not ridiculous to think there's going to be sellouts for 10 years.
My point was on Tuesday times was that the next 3 to 5 years are the years they're going to be trying to build a winner. In 3 to 5 years, you're hoping this team is a dominant team or a close to, you know, an upper echelon National Hockey League franchise, and then you're selling tickets like hotcakes because they're the team to watch.
Yeah, I mean, that's the master plan, and that's why it's so ingenious, is that, I mean, this team is really built for success in the front office-wise.
Did you just fall asleep into the mic?
No.
That's a rookie mistake.
Okay, the
microphone.
The mic got a little too close to the head there. Is that what happened? Or you do have beautiful flowing head of hair going on there.
Your head better than the mic.
Did the hair, you know, weigh down your scalp or something?
I was testing this fluff ball thing on the end of my microphone.
Maybe you want to do that off air?
Back to the Ardesk.
Commercial break.
That's it. Back Remus to the Ardesk.
Back to the dungeon, Remus. Back to the dungeon. We'll see you later, Remus.
We're not actually serious. Remus is actually leaving the studio.
You don't have to leave.
You can join. You can join.
I guess sit down. Sit down.
Remus, don't let these guys bully you around.
You can join Remus in the Ardesk at www.illegalcurve.com. We want to take your phone calls at 780-1290, area code 204-780-1290 if you're calling from out of town.
How is Greg not called in yet?
Follow us on Twitter at illegalcurve. You can always send us an email, info@illegalcurve.com. And the final guest that we have to mention before we take our first commercial break, coming up at 10:30 to talk about Stanley Cup game tonight. As you know, you're not going to ask him for an autograph this time, though, Ezra.
Make sure it is.
Doc Emmerich, the voice of hockey in the United States of America, far as I'm concerned.
And specifically the Devils.
Yes, and specifically the Devils. Yep. Doc Emmerich is going to join us.
Word if Chico's in Vancouver.
The Devils don't exist to you anymore.
Yeah, the Devils are dead to
Winnipeg
now.
No, I'm a Manitoba fan now, sure. First and foremost.
Doc Emmerich joining us at 10:30 this morning. Action-packed show. We want to hear from you. Let's take our first commercial break. After that, we'll talk. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show live on Sports Radio 1290.
You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on Sports Radio 1290. Brought to you in part by Superlube Auto Centers. They didn't make the car you drive. They make the car you drive, drive forever.
Little Foo Fighters to get us started in the morning.
True. Good work.
I like Foo Fighters.
What song is this?
My Hero.
Yeah, it's My Hero. I think I knew that.
They played this Gretzky off the ice 99.
In New York?
Yeah. Many other songs, too, but that was one of them.
Okay. Well, that's an appropriate song, I think. Yeah. I got no problems with that. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Drew Mandel and Richard Pollock, and somehow in the span of a two-minute-long commercial break, we've managed to lose the rest of our crew.
You know, when you guys had on Ezzy.
Ezzy's back.
That's not what I ordered.
Ezzy's back with the drink order. And
no more Diet Pepsis, Richard.
Diet Coke. You should know Richie well enough by now. That's not going to cut it for Richie.
Five Alive.
I thought Sabrina was going to take my chair while I was getting.
When you guys had Dave Vance on the show, I didn't hear that part. The Dave Vance and then the Mats Lindgren. What one of my little hockey
great interview.
Sir.
The Jets traded Boris Mironov, and it was the draft pick that ended up being Mats Lindgren, I believe, for Dave Vance.
I thought Mats Lindgren was already a Jets property.
He actually might have been. I think he might be right.
Yeah, and then I think it was an additional.
And then if you want to go on the hockey tree that happens, what happened was then the Oilers got Boris Mironov. Boris Mironov was then traded to Chicago later on. Chicago's GM at the time was Mike Smith, getting Boris Mironov back, who he liked. And going the other way was the likes of Ethan Morrow, Daniel Clark, if I recall correctly. I haven't checked this is what I remember. And then Mats Lindgren was traded for, I believe, Tommy Salow. And then the Oilers had Tommy Salo, who I believe they traded to Colorado for a draft pick that ended up being Tom Gilbert. So it's just funny how that all works and how Dave Manson essentially ends up being Tom Gilbert, amongst other players.
Pretty sure Pommy Salo, Richie, let in the worst goal ever of all time in the Olympics versus
definitely
Belarus.
Definitely did. I just want to point out for something for our listening audience. Some people might think that Richard is, you know, looking through a hockey almanac or something to get that information. Maybe he's got a database open in front of him. I can assure you he doesn't. He just knew that off the top of his head.
Drew, it's what's
so if you're as concerned as I am about that, then, you know, feel free to chime in on that.
I think one time I was writing, like, a little write-up of Richie, and what I said was encyclopedic knowledge of sports, which means it's just there.
I'm fairly certain that's not the definition of encyclopedic.
Well, I mean, you know,
I'm not sure that's your point.
Figuratively speaking.
Yeah. Anyway, I thought of all the interviews. I listened to the. I was at a doctor's appointment and I went online and I listened to the B team. That's line two.
The illegal curve irregulars as the sports radio.
Remember that movie? The others.
Yeah. There was three. There's B team, line two, regulars. Regardless, they did a tremendous job.
Yes. The Wednesday afternoon part one
great
of the illegal curve hockey show
guys,
on Wednesday.
You guys did a great job on Wednesday. So I mean, it feels like it's been weeks ago, but you guys did a tremendous job. I thought the interviews were great. Dave Manson, great. Freddie Olsen, a lot of passion. Phil Housley, really insightful. I just thought that, you know, these guys they speak so highly of the city, and it's just a testament to Winnipeg itself. I mean, as a community.
Oh, absolutely. They don't have to come. They don't have. I mean,
these Thrashers guys don't know what's coming. They're going to be. It's not going. You know, it's going to be. You're going to be on your Facebook account because everybody has one these days, and you're going to see somebody go, "Oh my God, Dustin Byfuglien is at blank restaurant."
Mobile uploads galore.
Of course,
I mean, it's going to be. You know,
so they do. In that sense, they get to watch themselves more.
Well, with great power
comes more responsibility.
Comes responsibility. So you know,
you Sun Tzu, Drew. Is this the Art of War?
That's from Spider-Man. How do you guys not know that?
You're quoting Spider-Man now?
I had the quote. I didn't know it was from Spider-Man, but as he just...
You didn't know that with great responsibility, with great power comes great responsibility.
Who said that?
Comes
Peter
Spider-Man?
Peter Parker's uncle or the Green Goblin?
I mean, it's not my fault. I'm an all-cultured individual. And, you know, Richie can tell you who Tommy Salo, or that Dave Manson was eventually traded for Tom Gilbert, but I can tell you a Spider-Man trivia.
Yeah, Drew can tell you when X-Men First Class is coming out featuring Kevin Bacon.
I actually can't.
Well, we heard
that.
Kevin Bacon last week on Howard Stern.
He was great.
I don't think that would be appropriate for public radio, unfortunately.
Let's talk about the finals.
Talk about the finals right now?
Yeah, let's talk about
the finals.
Okay,
we'll talk a little bit about the finals, and then we're of course, also going to talk about the drive to 13,000, which gets underway today at 12 noon. And we want to hear from you, 780-1290, with whatever you want, you know, your questions, we'll try and answer whatever we can. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if we can't answer it, we'll try and ask Scott Brown about it.
Exactly. Tweet in your questions if you want, call up with your questions, whatever it may be. If we can't answer it, as Drew said, we will ask the appropriate people.
That's right. You can tweet us at Illegal Curve, and you can always send us an email, info@illegalcurve.com. Looks like Zach in Toronto is on the line. He's getting things started nice and early this morning.
21 minutes in.
21 minutes. Yeah, he's late today. Zach, welcome to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hey now.
What's on your mind, Zachary?
My mind is True North Sports and Entertainment are geniuses.
They are.
They've changed the game with their approach to the season ticket drive, and, you know, just in terms of their pricing structure and, you know, how they're dealing with, you know, the 15,000 seats in general. They've established a business model that every small market in North America can look at now and say, you know, we don't need an 18,000 seat arena.
Yep.
If we do things this way, you know, you can make upwards of, you know, $80, $90 million a year with an NHL.
I can't disagree with anything you've said there. I mean, the chatter in Winnipeg this week has been, one, how are we going to get tickets?
Yep.
Or are we going to be lucky enough to get tickets? And B, how amazing of a job has True North done in rolling this out?
Well, Zach, you just said it because, and I think the thing I take the most from your comments is that they set a business model. I would not be surprised at all if other cities, especially in Canada, because the demand is so high, follow this model.
You have to.
It provides financial security for a long period of time.
And Zach, they've done two things here, and the specific point that you nailed was that they've set the model, like Richie just said. They've ensured that this building's going to be sold out for, you know, whatever, 3, 4, 5 years. I'd say probably 5 years and longer. And they've also made it was already obvious that the NHL Board of Governors were going to approve this deal, but they've basically made it so that at that Board of Governors meeting, they can say, we just sold 13,000 season tickets in 4 days or 5 days or whatever, which is so impressive.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Eddie, to give you guys a little bit of perspective, when those tickets sell out today at, you know, 1 o'clock or however long it takes them.
Right.
I crunched the numbers. Winnipeggers will have committed $224 million over the next 5 years.
Great job there, Zach, by the way. Great job with those stats there.
Oh, yeah, over the five-year period.
So that's very interesting that you say that. And Zach, and as you know, that doesn't include sales of the concessions at the arena and their share of the jerseys.
Everything else that goes through that
concerts,
arena.
And whether it be many other things that they're going to be reaping the rewards from. That's great information. Broadcast rights, local broadcast rights, the $11 million bucks or so they're going to get from U.S. television, whatever they get from Canada. I mean, there you go right there. You'll see how much money you're getting, and this team, it looks very, very, very viable.
You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of an NFL team. You know, because the NFL teams make money before they even put a person
Green
in
Bay.
The stands.
Green Bay.
Yeah. They don't even have to put people in the stands, and they make money through television and through everything
That's
else.
Right. Yep.
These guys have, guaranteed themselves almost profit. Revenue and profit.
It's impressive, Drew, that we can say not only is the NHL coming back to our city, but there's a good chance that we're going to be a top 10 NHL city as far as revenue. We're going to be a team that
could be top 15. I'm not sure about top 10.
Top 15, but top half. But we're not going to be. We're going to be contributing to revenue sharing so that the other teams in the NHL, specifically the Columbuses or the Nationals or whatever, are going to be propped up. So it's really impressive. It really shows that the demand here and the fan support is second to none based on the size of our city.
Yeah, absolutely.
Zach, repeat the call as always. Keep on listening, but I assume you're going to be. Are you going to be online at noon?
Absolutely.
Even in Toronto, you're going to be trying
even
to get some.
Even in Toronto.
There you go. That's a fan for you, Zach. Appreciate it as always.
Thanks, Zach. We got a question from a listener in Nanaimo, BC, from Vancouver Island.
Nanaimo bars.
From Len. And Len asks, he says, morning, guys. I'm worried that if you say they're trying to build a winner, but it has been reported that your team is not spending to the cap, is that not a problem? You know, Len, I mean, that can be an issue in some periods of time, but it's especially if you need to add that one player to the deadline, if that's one guy you need, and you can't do so because of a cap, whether it be self-imposed, I assume self-imposed in this case. I don't think in terms of providing, a winner to this city night in, night out, I think you can do it the other way. I don't think you need to be necessarily up to the cap. You just need to manage things very closely, manage your budget very closely. Now, what I did when I wrote my roster analysis, I compared it to Nashville. I mean, Nashville was, a sixth game against the Canucks, who I assume you might be a fan of, in the second round. They were, Alexander Radulov not bailing on them a couple years ago, having the rights to him and maybe a guy, the Phil Kessel deal going through, to being a team that could go pretty far. So I think that may be a concern for some, but I also am of the belief that if this city really shows that they're passionate about the product and we're up against a close race and this team is close to the brink of really, really contending, that I wouldn't be surprised if they would make a little bit of a splurge and add somebody for the end of the end of the season.
I think you're dealing with two things here. You have a very hockey-savvy fan base who aren't going to say, you must go out and kill your cap space. The people will know that the key to succeeding in the NHL nowadays is being smart with the cap and maintaining it so that you have flexibility going throughout the sort of the length of contracts, that sort of thing. But B, and people will accept that, but if they think that you're being cheap, if they think you're not making a deal strictly because of the financial implications, that's when you might see a little bit of blowback. But these guys want to win, ultimately. Yeah. I don't think that's going
to
be an issue.
And I don't think you spend to the cap, right? I mean, look at teams, you spend money the right way. Look at Calgary this year, up against the cap, and would you pay up against the cap money for that team if you had to pay for them right now? No. There's a lot of bad contracts there. You have to make sure you stay away from bad contracts, especially bad long-term contracts. Paying players, with problems that these teams get, and they play which right now is an issue for this team. They're paying fifth and sixth defensemen more than they should be, paying third and fourth liners more than you should be. Those are concerns in the cap system. You can't do that. Quickly before break, Drew, another email from George, an email from George Morris. He goes, please note, to reinforce the smarts, quote-unquote, of True North Sports and Entertainment, figure this. 2,000 tickets to be available on a game basis. Now, we think that's probably more like 1,000.
We'll ask Scott Brown about that at 11 o'clock.
But say it's 2,000. He says average ticket price of about $80. Now, I believe those would be cheaper tickets, but 45 games at a premium of 40%. So maybe it is average price of $80 if it's at a premium of 40% equals an additional, almost $3 million of annual income.
Just on the topic of the salary cap, I welcome everyone to read Richie's analysis that we have on www.illegalcurve.com, which is bang on because it goes with what Mark Chipman said. They are going to spend near the bottom of the cap, probably, what did we say, $53 million, like in Nashville, And what they're most likely going to do, I believe, and we can you know discuss this a little bit more, Drew,
yep.
But what their strategy is going to be is to sign the restricted free agents that they have, like an Andrew Ladd, a Blake Wheeler, those guys,
mm-hmm.
and then maybe get one guy, which you said a perfect guy would be Scotty Upshaw, which I agree with a lot, a guy that you know maybe will make $3 million.
Now, let me get in there, Izzy, and I know that too, and obviously I think that.
Yep.
Now, there's a couple concerns. Oh, no, I wrote in the article, you know, maybe they know more about Upshaw than we do because Arneil and Zinger have a good relationship. Second of all, the one concern, and I like Scotty Upshaw's game, so I would sign him, and I think you agree. The one concern some people have off ice is that Scotty Upshaw likes to...
Shot,
right.
Likes to hit
shot.
The scene a
but
bit.
It, but the point is that it's going to be a player like him.
That's right, exactly.
Or Joel Ward, you mentioned Radim Verbata, guys that are going to make in the $3
million range. Even a Michael Ryder, too, I can
a Michael Ryder, yeah. guys in the 40 to 60-point range that add a bit of the physical element. But the other thing, too, that True North Sports and Entertainment, and I'm very much in the belief that they're going to try to get a player with the 7th overall pick that could possibly step into the league next year like a Jeff Skinner. Wow. And the reason why that's important is because this team is full of young players. What's their average age? 23 on forward? So that this is a perfect position close for that, a guy to step in there. So they're not going after Brad Richards or anybody close to that.
And they shouldn't.
Yeah. Exactly.
Now, and they shouldn't. One thing you want to think about is, I know we have to go to break, Drew. One thing you have to think about is a guy like Jeff Skinner. Obviously, you want a guy like that available at 7. Make sure he's really, really ready because you don't want to burn an entry-level year if you don't have to.
Very true. Exactly. All these different things you have to factor in with the new salary cap era in the NHL. Something that is new to hockey fans in this city, given that in 96 it was the Wild Wild West.
Different world.
Exactly. Let's go to break. When we come back, more of your phone calls, more of your tweets, more of your emails. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Drive to 13,000, live on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back.
What band is this, Drew?
I have no idea.
The Strokes.
Ricky's favorite.
0% chance they would have gotten that. Zero. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on Sports Radio 1290. 2.5 hours, the drive to 13,000 kicks off at 12 noon. We'll be joined in the last hour by Scott Brown of True North Sports and Entertainment and Jim Ludlow of True North Sports and Entertainment. 10 o'clock this morning, live from Toronto, Tim Campbell of the Winnipeg Free Press. And 10:30 this morning, live from Vancouver, Doc Emmerich, the voice of hockey in the United States of America. We want to hear from you. We'll take your calls, 780-1290.
I think we have Mitt Romney on the line. No, we don't. Okay.
780-1290 if you want to talk season ticket drive, if you want to talk cup finals, all those calls, emails, info@illegalcurve.com. You can always follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/illegalcurve. Send us your messages @illegalcurve. That was a mouthful.
Come on, Drew.
Sorry, boys. I'm choking. I'm nervous for 12 noon.
Have a Timbit.
You're logging in. I'm just making sure I'm doing what True North told me to do.
You're logging in.
Make sure that I'm logged into my Ticketmaster account. Make sure that I'm on the right page on drivetothirteen.com. You know, I'm getting ready.
Make sure you're sitting down. Make sure you have clothes on. Make sure there's water near you.
Make sure you had breakfast.
I did have breakfast. Granted, you know, I'm 2.5 hours early, but better to be safe than sorry. You never know. I just want to make sure I'm ready to rock. You know, that's all. We want to hear from you. Do you already have season tickets? Are you a Moose season ticket holder?
Would you like to call in and gloat?
Yeah. If you want to call in and gloat, how was your experience in picking out the tickets?
P1, P2, P3.
What is your strategy for getting tickets at 12 noon today if you don't already have tickets? How many computers are you going to be on?
Have we become True North Sports and Entertainment customer service?
Yeah. How many people?
Are you on dial-up? Yeah. Do you use Wi-Fi? Are you plugging in?
How many different people do you know that are trying to get you tickets?
Are you on a Mac? Are you on a Dell? Do you use an ASIC? What's it called, ASIC?
Drew's a notebook. ASIC? Drew's a notebook. Me and Richie are Mac.
Well, Richie still doesn't know how to use his Mac. He's had it for 2 years.
No clue.
Remus is Commodore.
Commodore.
Anyways, yeah, Drew, I mean, obviously.
As Remus is texting over to me, will you be using Firefox or Internet Explorer? Yeah.
What about Google Chrome? Will you be using Chrome?
Yeah, no, Chrome's good.
Exactly. What about Chrome's Safari? Good. Is Safari still around?
I think I use Safari.
Yeah?
I don't know what I use.
Okay. There you go. Anyway, these are the questions that people are, you know, passionately, you know, probably, I'm sure that there is somebody that wants to buy season tickets who's looking to see, you know, what responds better with the Ticketmaster website.
There's no doubt in my mind that people are so worried that they're not going to get season tickets that people have five or six computers ready to go and a strategy.
Maybe five or six people.
Where that they have people that they know that aren't even going to be in on the season tickets because this, the best word to describe this is what you said, Drew. It's a lottery because there's no strategy. I was talking to a few people that I know in the IT world. No, just kidding. But there's absolutely no way to gain an advantage. This isn't like you can somehow flood the system or something like that. That's it's it. Just first come, first serve.
And you know what also is important? Some people were saying, you know, oh, what about the hackers or the spammers, you know, in overseas who often try and buy tickets that way, you know, just buy them, you know, using, you know, an army of people in front of computers. The important part is you have to be in attendance to pick out your seats.
Right.
So somebody from India or China,
hopefully that some of those ticket brokers can't.
Ticket brokers aren't going to be flying in to, you know, pick out.
You'd hope not.
Well, but they can only buy 4 seats. Ticket broker can't sign up under 14 different names and represent all 14 different times.
Hopefully they can. That will preclude that from happening because I hate that.
Yeah, especially right. You know, they're out of town and they're just doing it for the profit and they're not fans. We want fans in the building. When you're real fans in the building,
people want to be there. I mean, don't mooch them and sell them.
Well, you know, another good question: if you're going in with a group of people, how are you going to divvy up your tickets? Is it going to be a UFC cage match to see who gets to go to the first game?
The old draft format, I think. Yeah.
I would think it would be the old.
Get out the draft board. You know, do it the old-fashioned way where you kind of just put all of the tickets on the table. I think that's what Warrior said. Yeah. Steve Warrior, our friend who lives in New York and calls in very often. I mean, obviously, you don't have to do it like that, and it's not going to be the way you do it, but you basically do it. I mean, there's the other thing, too. There's a couple of ways you can do it, but most...
Eddie, it's a unique year in that it's the Eastern Conference, and it's not going to be like this next year.
That's
so
right.
So you get to see...
You're going to get to see Toronto's and Montreal's
Toronto twice next year, Habs twice next year, the Rangers twice next year, Crosby twice next year, Philly twice next year. I can go through it.
Obviously, Tampa 4 times, Washington
Ovechkin
4 times.
Ovechkin 3 times. Stamkos 3 times.
But you're going to see
Solani home game. So there's really a lot of games that, especially this year, people, you want to, I mean, single tickets are going to go crazy anyways, but these are the games that next year you're not going to see these teams.
You won't see them for a couple years.
Probably not.
Yeah, so
they alternate every year. Yeah,
that's right. You never know where, but I mean, it's going to be...
So for example, after you see Ovechkin 3 times this year, you're only going to see him once every 2 years.
That's right. So, you know, take advantage
of this. Hopefully they read my article that I wrote about it for balanced schedule. The rumor is when they do the realignment, they're going to get rid of this heavy weighted division schedule and go back to a balanced schedule, which will likely see the teams play home and home, similar to what the NBA does now, what the NHL used to do, and what the NHL should be doing.
Because
you reward teams in poor divisions. Other teams have easier quality of competition when they're playing poor teams in their own divisions, when other teams are playing more games in their divisions against harder teams. And most importantly, Drew, you're... taking away from the fans the ability to watch Sidney Crosby once a year.
That's right.
Alexander Ovechkin once a year. Whoever else, Stamkos.
When we're back in the Western Conference, you telling me you're willing to go 2 years without seeing, without seeing the Montreal Canadiens or the Toronto Maple Leafs?
Exactly.
Just do a home and home. It's easy.
That's all they're gonna do.
And just figure out the rest of the game. Start with that, then plug in the rest of the games after that.
Yeah.
That's all. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to do it any other way. I don't know. I mean, which, of course, means that in typical NHL fashion, they probably won't do it that way. But, you know, it's the way to do it. That way everybody gets to see it, everything else, and everybody will be happy, at least, that you get to see the superstars at least once a year.
Right. Guys, Remus wants to know who's going to fight over the Florida Panthers games.
Nobody. Those are going to be some dull games.
The Panthers and Carolina will probably be the games that people want.
Hey, I'm a Panthers. I'm a Carolina fan. I'm a Hurricanes fan.
There you go. Yeah.
You're not an Evgeny Dadonov fan?
Not overwhelmingly, but I could learn to love Evgeny.
Maybe you know who he is, Drew.
Yeah, I've heard of him.
It's like Davidov, but Dadonov. Remus also likes Carolina, so I think that me and Remus are going to be going to a lot of Carolina Florida games together.
Sounds like a match made in hell. Anyways, 780-1290, area code 204, 780-1290. Tweet us at Illegal Curve. Send us an email, info@illegalcurve.com.
Are we going to get to this quickly about the finals or no?
Let's get to the finals next segment leading into Doc Emrick. Doc Emrick's at 10:30. Sorry, so we can talk finals.
I'm pretty sure that Drew's going to be the guy who activates the drive to 13,000 drive.
What did you guys think of game one?
I thought it was a pretty even match game for the most part. Vancouver did control the puck in the third period. Shots were fairly even, which is indicative of a pretty even game because no team was leading until about 20 seconds left. So there wasn't the bias of having a team, you know, who's trailing, obviously getting more shots on net. I thought overall, Boston needs to change a couple things. First of all, the goal was unnecessary in that 20 seconds left in the game. Johnny Boychuk should not be pinching at the line like that. That was a terrible decision. That's what led to the goal, and he couldn't get back on his guy in time.
Yeah.
You can't be pinching at the line like that, especially when you're Johnny Boychuk and you don't have a lot of foot speed. So people talked about the offside. More attention should have been pointed to, and I think I heard it talked about yesterday. Boychuk at the line can't do that. You can't make mental mistakes like that in the Stanley Cup Finals. That's one thing. Tim Thomas was incredible. Luongo was very good. But I really do think, Drew, that the Dan Hamhuis injury is significant. And significant for a number of reasons. Well, no, one, because he plays against your other teams, you know, top players for the most part. But secondly, I mean, Drew, this is you're throwing Andrew Albertson into the mix. One of my concerns from the beginning. Now, the Canucks are so good offensively that they control the play for a lot of the time. But what I would like to see from Boston's angle is, you know, if Alberts is coming in today, which is the rumor, ahead of Ballard, that's the rumor.
It surprises me.
A little bit, but
I think that's a bad decision.
Boston's on the fastest team, guys, so yeah. I think what they're trying to do is put size against size. Now,
yep, definitely.
If I were Boston, and Claude Julien, for whatever reason, is hesitant to use his youngsters, I would get Tyler Seguin out against that third pairing, against a guy like Andrew Alberts. I get him to use his speed and use his skill and get him out there. For whatever reason, they're not doing that. And all for all the respect I have for the other guys, they're playing ahead of him. It's unnecessary. I mean, look at his ice time in Game 1, okay? That's not the reason they lost, by any means. But the ice time, his ice time in Game 1 was 6 minutes and 21 seconds, okay? I like Chris Kelly. He's a respectable player. He played 15 minutes.
Yeah.
6 minutes more than Sagan at even strength. Shorthanded time, obviously, is 3 minutes is what he's, you know, good at playing. But you're playing him 6 minutes more at even strength than Tyler Seguin. Come on here. Vancouver is a high-flying team. They're a puck-moving team. They're good at basically everything. You need to get your skilled players out there.
Richie, I don't think you're going to see a repeat of that ice time in this game, because it's pretty clear that both of those teams were, you know, starved for goals. It's not like they weren't creating some offensive chances, but yeah, you're right. I especially when you've got Hamhuis out of the lineup, and he, like you said, you've got that ability to throw out that third line with Sagan against Alberts, who's a big guy who lacks foot speed, right? So I don't think you're going to see a repeat of that. But
if you want to put Sagan on the right side instead of Ryder, fine. Put him there with Kelly and Peverly, whatever it may be.
Can we talk about this for a second, though, as far as putting Alberts in over Ballard? I don't know for
what
reason.
Is that confirmed yet? It's not confirmed, but that was the rumor.
Yeah, rumor, okay. I don't know what I mean. Ballard has his defensive shortcomings, Richie, sure, but I don't know why he's fallen so much into Vigneault's doghouse.
Shocking how far of a doghouse he's in.
How many games has he played in the postseason? Two or three?
He hasn't played since Nashville, I don't think.
Just a few games, right?
Yeah.
I don't think he's been that bad, and I really don't know if it has
it's
something to do
with... It's been a year-long thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
I guess, Ezzy, what they're looking at is, you know, you have, for the most part, in terms of speed, you're not, you know, Ryder's not the fastest player, you know, third liners like that, and Kelly is not a bad skater by any means, but
shouldn't you play your best players though?
Kelly's a pretty good skater.
I mean, if you went out and you asked 100 hockey fans who's a better player, Andrew Alberts or Keith Ballard, what do you think the answer would be?
I think Ballard's a better player. I don't think there's any doubts about that. I just think in this situation, I agree with you guys. I would put Ballard in because I wouldn't want Alberts. If they want to exploit his speed as they should, or his lack of foot speed, I should say, they need to. I mean, Aaron Rome's going to get on more responsibility. This is a concern I had about the Vancouver defense. Now, Boston has to take advantage of this problem because this is a big issue for Vancouver. But Boston, at the same time, isn't an offensive juggernaut. They're a very deep team. So they have to make sure they take advantage of this. This is their chance right here. Dan Hamhuis is out.
Yeah.
Tim Thomas kept you in
Game
1.
Well, we don't know for sure that he's out, and we'll ask Doc Emrick that, but we suspect he's going to be out.
We suspect he's out, Drew.
Yeah.
I mean,
if they're talking about this much about Andrew Alberts and everything else, he's not going to be playing this game.
And that's a big loss. So this is a big game for Boston. Now, that goes without saying. We don't need to toss in the hockey cliches, but they have to take advantage of the no Hamhuis. Now, in terms of Vancouver, guys, they were taking advantage a little bit of those, you know, bottom. I know Charles on the ice for the winning goal. That wasn't his fault, though. The other defensemen are being taken advantage of. Andrew Ferentz got beat a few times. You know, Thomas Cabrera off the boards there.
Yeah.
This is not the best team defensively, you know, 1-6. Now, they play a good team defense, but that 1-6, it's not great. Vancouver was exploiting them, and Thomas was making some great saves. I guess we can quickly talk about the fact that Alex Burrows was not suspended, but he should have been. I think that's...
Oh,
across the board, I think any hockey guy for the most part agrees with that. Mike Murphy's just showing that, I guess he's trying to do a favor to Cole and Campbell and show how a good job it is. They said, you hear the description that Dreger explained from the NHL, that they could see it in slow motion, but they couldn't see it in real time. What the heck does that mean?
That's why you have slow motion, isn't it?
Use slow motion, and Ferraro was beside you. Use slow motion for every replay. What are you talking about?
I think, Richie, as far as the bite...
Indefensible.
As far as bite gate goes, all I have to say is that, in my opinion, there clearly was a bite, but...
Let me stop.
When a glove is stuck in someone's mouth like that...
You know, that's a definition.
What do you do?
Let's hold off on there. Let's hold off on there, and I want to come back to that point that you just made, Ezzy. Somebody sticks their glove in your mouth.
Not
what
just,
do you do?
Not just hand, finger.
Yeah. Let's hold it right there. We're right up against the break. I want to come back and talk about that point exactly.
We'll argue this out.
Then let's argue it out. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, The Drive to 13,000, live on Sports Radio 1290. I really have no idea what this song is.
Tim?
It is Tim that is playing the song, but when you're pointing at him, does that
Queens
mean...
Queens of the Stone Age, brah.
Confirm? Well done, Ezzy.
I don't tell you who it is without knowing. That would be like a poser, Drew. I already pretended to be a skateboarding poser when I was in grade 7 when I wore the baggy jeans, and I didn't have a skateboard, though, so it was kind of hard. I had to get creative, but...
I'm willing to let you keep going with this story, really, frankly.
Non sequitur.
This could be an entire segment, as far as I'm concerned, as he's skateboarding posing era. Anyways, let's go back to what we were talking about what we were talking about before the commercial break, about the bite that the NHL said wasn't a bite.
Bite it?
If you're a player, if you're Alex Burrows, and somebody sticks their finger in your mouth.
Let me first get in there on the fact that Burrows continually hit Bergeron in the head, and for my money, the only reason he was doing that is because Bergeron has a history of concussions, and he kept hitting him in the head, and hitting him in the head, and hitting him in the head, and Bergeron got in and put his hand in his face, and it happened to go in his mouth. I don't think that was his intention. And then Burrows bit him. Burrows is a dirty player. I mean, give him credit, he's come from basically nothing all the way up to the National Hockey League, but he's not a well-liked hockey player. He's not well-respected. He hasn't played the game the quote-unquote right way, diving everywhere, doing dirty things. I don't really have much respect for the guy, and I completely think he should have been suspended.
Richie, you know what I love about what Patrice Bergeron said, or the thing that Patrice Bergeron said that was the funniest? He said that in Quebec, that's how, they're both players are from Quebec.
Yeah.
He said, that's how you say hi to each other in Quebec.
Yeah.
Drew, to answer your question,
yes.
If someone puts their finger in your mouth, and specifically on when it's a hockey glove, it's not a pleasant thing, as we all know.
That's true.
And you can either do two things. You can push the guy's glove out of your mouth, or you can take a nibble. And Alexander Burrows decided to take a nibble, and he should have been suspended because you could clearly see that he takes a little nibble. He didn't take a chomp, but there was a nibble. And a game suspension is probably what a nibble should get you based on previous years, right?
There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever. And for the NHL to say differently, they're at best being disingenuous, and at worst they're just outright lying, is that when there's no video of it. Anybody with a brain could see the video of him biting the hand.
That's a joke.
I mean, so when do the rules apply and when don't the rules apply? You know? If it's a suspendable, like, do you think that's suspendable in the first round of the playoffs? If this is the first round of the playoffs, do you think he's suspended?
Suspendable in every round.
So then why not now?
Because the National Hockey League has no form of consistency, and Brendan Shanahan is going to have his hands full.
Do you think that if Brendan Shanahan's there right now
literally
in charge, do you think he makes that?
I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know what Brendan Shanahan's going to be like as a disciplinarian. I do know that Mike Murphy and Colin Campbell have left a lot to be desired.
It just is, I mean...
I'll say that.
Do they think that, you know, it's not like this is, 1975 where every game wasn't broadcast with 85 different cameras and everything.
Yeah.
It was pretty clear.
How about this, guys? If the NHL is going to decide not to suspend Burrows, don't use the inconclusive thing.
That's right.
Just say we're not going to suspend
him right.
Because of
we don't think it was...
anything else. But this inconclusive stuff, Richie, as Gary Lawless would say, you're a lawyer, so you would know this. No, but it's all about details and specific cases, and you can't keep using this inconclusive evidence thing. You've got to basically say, okay, he bit him. That's a game. Don't say that we didn't have a good camera angle.
Or I agree with you, Ezzy. Or say, yes, we know he bit him, but we don't think it's suspension worthy.
It's a joke. Right.
And if they say it's not suspension worthy, then they've said it. They've made a new benchmark.
Yep.
And people can act accordingly. They can disagree wholeheartedly, as most people would.
I hope fans of Winnipeg are now remembering the days of the Canucks and that we hate them and stop hoping for them.
Sorry.
Drew, are you okay?
No, I'm not.
Drew, did you just get P2s?
Yeah, I just get P1s. You got this sold out.
Exactly. But the concept that there's fans in Winnipeg still cheering for Vancouver boggles my mind.
Just let those people have
it. Nah, it makes me want to vomit.
No, you don't get that. You're off that bandwagon. I don't know why you were ever on there in the first place.
You're on the Drew wagon now.
No, I don't know why you were ever on there in the first place.
What, the Drew wagon?
All you're worried about today is making sure you get season tickets.
That's right.
You could care less who wins.
Couldn't care less.
You could care less? Couldn't care less?
Well, you couldn't care less. I mean, you couldn't.
Yeah, okay, fine. You couldn't care less who wins tonight.
That's right. You could care less, and you could care.
Remus is just typing into us from the other room. He says he's cheering for Vancouver until the end of the season because of all the Moose players.
Fair enough.
Give me that.
You know what? I'm gonna save Remus, so to speak. I think that it's not even just that. It is that, but there are a lot of Moose players.
That's great.
It's a Canadian team. It is a Canadian team.
And I'm glad that they developed in Winnipeg and that they think fondly of Winnipeg, but I hope that Winnipeg destroys them from now on.
I don't want to see those teams succeed.
I don't want to see any team succeed besides Winnipeg.
That's right.
Period. It's a no-brainer. Oh, well,
back, baby.
Yeah. Oh, that guy played nicely in Winnipeg for a couple years when we were the Moose or when we were the IHL. You know what? I like Johan Hedberg, and I'm glad that he made it from as a Moose IHL player. But if he plays against the Jets, do I want to see him lose 48-0? Damn right I do.
That's right.
Damn right I do.
There's no need for that language, Drew.
I don't think my language is that bad. But you know what? Well, because he's a Devil, that's why. Actually, they may have lost 48-0. If they were going to lose 48-0 last season, I don't think it's going to happen. But we got a guy in the chat room. Dan in the chat room says you always take the Canadian team over the American team. Why? I take my team over any other team.
That's right.
That's it. You know, why should I cheer for Vancouver? Tell me one reason.
They don't have more Canadians.
They don't have more Canadians. Exactly.
Boston does.
Boston does.
Yeah.
Boston is the more Canadian team. I always thought that was a specious argument.
Also, you know,
big word.
You know, for the Canadian economy, it does things. The truth is that it's good, regardless of what happens at the end, it's already doing wonders for the Canadian economy. In Vancouver.
Yeah, great. People are going to party. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, they already got there.
Yeah.
You want them to get there. Yeah, I just don't care who wins.
No, I don't care who wins. And definitely, the concept of cheering for a team other than my own, now that we have a team,
yeah,
it boggles my mind. And I don't care if you were a Canucks fan for the last 15 years. The only reason you were a Canucks fan for the last 15 years is because you didn't have your own team.
Well, it's right. Definitely
you can drop that
specious argument.
You can drop that allegiance. You're just now making fun of me. You can drop that allegiance on Tuesday at 11:05 a.m. You could have dropped that allegiance, as far as I'm concerned, and I wouldn't have criticized you for 1 second. They're done.
And now you're joining us for Drew Mandel's drive to alienating all of our Illegal Curve fans.
No, I'm not. Our Illegal Curve fans are definitely going to...
Drew, you get to go back to being passionate about our team and hating the other teams, and I think that's the way we grew up. That's
you're
the way
right.
It should
if,
be.
If you're in Winnipeg, your point is well taken. I think that people... You can still also, Drew, and people's behalf, you can still cheer for a team to win the Stanley Cup over another team.
Yeah, you can do what you want.
From a pure hockey standpoint. But obviously, you shouldn't, you know, go out of your way to lose it. So we're all in the same bandwagon. We have a hockey team back. That's our team.
Before we go to break, we have Curtis and St. Vitale on line one. Curtis, welcome to the program.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up, Curtis? Well, Curtis. How you doing?
Good. Well, I just wanted to say that I'm a Maple Leaf fan through and through. I will support the Winnipeg Club. That's how I've always been. But when the Ottawa Senators made it to the Stanley Cup final, there was no way in HE double hockey sticks that I was going to cheer for Ottawa because I'm a Maple Leaf fan, and I'll cheer for the Leafs right to the end. That's it.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, I mean, so you weren't buying the argument, oh, you got to cheer for the Canadian team all the way, you know, even if it's your arch enemy.
Exactly, and people were telling me, all my buddies and stuff, that jumped on the Ottawa bandwagon, and when Montreal went deep in the playoffs, they were all in the Montreal bandwagon, and they said, you know what, you're unpatriotic, you're not a Canadian, because you're not cheering for the Canadian team. There's no way that was true. I'm a Maple Leaf fan, and I'll cheer for them to the day I die.
Curtis, let's be honest. Even people in Ottawa weren't even cheering for the team when they were playing the Ducks in the final. They knew that they were just happy to be there, right? But no, that's you're loyal, and that's huge when you're a fan, and that means you're a true Leafs fan, right?
And we haven't won, what, 43 years? Come on.
It's been a while.
It's like 70 years or something.
Curtis, thanks.
We left the league for 15 years and nothing happened.
Yeah. Curtis, thanks very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Go Leafs.
Before we go to commercial break, the best tweet, and I've said it, I think, a couple times on air, the best tweet I saw on Tuesday is they should name the new Winnipeg team the Manitoba Maple Leafs, because that way somebody will see a Maple Leafs cup in their lifetime.
It's a horrible idea, Drew.
I thought it was funny, though. Let's go to break. More to come. Tim Campbell, after these commercial messages, you're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Drive to 13,000, live on Sports Radio 1290. Back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Drive to 13,000 here on Sports Radio 1290. 2 hours left until the ticket sale frenzy will begin.
Drew, you've been eating over your quota of Timbits.
Well, get them away from me.
Thanks.
We have to give a big shout-out to our colleague here at Bell Media, Sabrina Carnevale, for providing us with this morning's Timbits.
That's correct.
We do appreciate that
Thank
very much.
Thank you, Sabrina.
Thanks, Brad. It only required us begging and pleading on Twitter last night.
Mostly Remus.
Yeah, and Remus actually
went... But he's locked out of the studio, so he can't have any Timbits.
Yeah, that's right. He's back in prison, so it's okay. He went to the point of actually specifying which Timbit he wanted.
There's still some chocolates in there.
Are there? Well... Too bad for Remus, he won't know that they're there. We're looking to get to Tim Campbell and on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline momentarily. I think Remus has almost got him ready to roll.
Isn't Remus forgetting about the drive to 13,000 and going for the drive to Jerry Seinfeld tickets?
Right now he's not calling anybody. He's buying Seinfeld tickets.
No, I think he's got Tim on the phone. I think so. I don't know what.
And by the way, we're excited to just obviously talk about. We've talked to Tim many times over the past couple of years now about the return of hockey to Winnipeg. Now. Tim, having covered the Jets and the Moose in terms of the actual content on the ice, we're excited right now. I believe we have them ready to go. We're excited right now to talk about the actual hockey team, the actual organization,
exactly.
How this team gets better, how we can move forward to hopefully winning a cup in the city one day.
The beauty of not having to talk in hypotheticals anymore. Anyways, while we're at it, let's go to Tim Campbell live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
Tim Campbell joining us live from the NHL Scouting Combine in Toronto. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Good, Tim.
Tim,
how are you?
How many reps of bench press, of 150 did you bench press?
Half, I think.
It's nice to have you on the air, Tim, where we don't actually have to talk about hypotheticals for once.
Well, isn't that something?
Yeah, it's a nice change where maybe they're coming, maybe they're not coming. Now we know they're here, and we get to actually talk about on-ice hockey hockey activities and then front office hockey activities and things of that nature. Along those same lines, Tim, let's start with Jim Ludlow's comments to you last night about Kevin Cheveldayoff. If you check your article in today's Winnipeg Free Press, some very insightful comments from Jim there. Does that indicate to you that Cheveldayoff is the leader in the clubhouse for the GM's job in Winnipeg?
I think it does. I guess I took the opposite approach in maybe trying to analyze the story a little later yesterday, and that, if Cheveldayoff wasn't the front runner or the favorite or basically their first choice, I think a lot of those comments, we heard yesterday would have been a lot different, including my conversation with Kevin himself here yesterday. I just think that would have gone a lot differently if he was not the guy. So, when you put all the pieces together, it sure points to him as being their first choice to try to get done with.
Tim, what role is Craig Heisiger going to play in this organization?
Well, we know it's going to be significant. I don't know what his title's going to be yet. But you can take it to the bank that he's going to have lots of input on the hockey decisions, both the main team, the NHL team, as well as the system and the prospects. I mean, that's one of the things he's excelled at through the years is identifying maybe those people that have fallen through cracks. We've seen some pretty nice players go to Vancouver through the Moose, strictly through the great eyes and thinking of Craig Heisinger. So I don't think that's going to stop in any way, shape, or form for the team that's going to inhabit Winnipeg in the coming years. So beyond that, I don't know what kind of title they're going to throw on it, or I have no clue as to what the organizational structure is going to be like. But you can take it to the bank. He is going to have a big voice in every decision they make hockey-wise.
Tim, we've got two questions for you about, you know, the future head coach of the NHL team in Winnipeg. Do you believe that Claude Noel is the favorite to be the first head coach of the Winnipeg NHL franchise, or pardon me, the Manitoba NHL franchise? And as the second part of the question, do you think True North really wants to interview a quote-unquote hot coaching candidate like or someone else?
Well, as far as Claude goes, I don't know if he's the favorite. You know, all I could say to that at this point is, from a personal standpoint, I would sure enjoy working around the team if he was the coach, because, you know, he's a straight shooter. In my eyes, and more than just this season with the Moose, you know, he's a coach who installs accountability and accepts nothing less. And, you know, I really think the Winnipeg fans, you know, want that as a minimum. So, you know, they've got no worries in those areas with Claude in charge. Beyond that, I don't know if they'll chase after star candidates. I think it might be a little bit of, like, you know, cart before the horse in that case. I mean, they still need to get busy with, the Cheval Day Off matter. You know, I don't know how long that's going to take. They've obviously got some things to do with him. Maybe they've talked about some hypotheticals with coaching and their other hockey staff. I don't know that they have, but, you know, I think a lot will have to do about what Craig Heisinger and if it's going to be Kevin Chilioff. You know, their approach will determine which coaches that they might approach.
Tim, do you think that Claude Noel, I mean, he's had a cup of coffee as an interim head coach in Columbus. Do you think he's ready to make the big leap into the NHL, you know, ready for the NHL close-up?
Well, I don't think it's a big leap. At least that's my opinion. You know, I think in Columbus he was kind of caught in a bad spot there. obviously, he was loyal to his organization, and his GM took the reins and tried to do, tried to do his best, and, you know, they just needed a change there, and they still need some changes there. Clearly, the problem was not Claude Noel, but, you know, that happens a lot in hockey. You kind of get caught in a wave or in a bad spot. Hockey, to me, and jobs is all about good timing, and in a lot of cases, who you know and who knows you. That's probably more important than who you know, so... you know, in Claude's case, I don't know if I think he might tell you this, but, you know, I would certainly suggest he would consider himself fairly fortunate that he had been noticed by the Moose organization and the Canucks organization just through his history. Clearly, he had some very big fans there, and it, as you well know, this time last year, it did not take the Moose and the Canucks long to act when Claude Noel became available in Columbus, so... you know, that should bode well for him in his future, wherever it's going to be. And I would think it's possible it could be in Winnipeg.
I would tend to agree with that, Tim. You know, just for our listeners, Kevin Cheveldayoff was a GM of the Chicago Wolves for a long period of time. Can you give the listeners a little bit of a background on him, who he is, what you think he may bring to the table?
Well, my own opinion is not that that counts for a whole lot, but...
it does here.
My own opinion is that he's a very intelligent guy. You know, clearly his roots are in the Western Hockey League, and he was a pretty hard-nosed player, very difficult to play against. I actually am not sure I ever saw him play a game, but, you know, you talk to people who know him and watched him play and played with him, and they'll tell you that. He's a hard-working guy from what I know, and to me, one of the things I really like about him, and even though I guess we always for years considered him part of a running joke, and it's kind of half true, half joke that folks in Winnipeg and especially around the Moose always considered the Chicago Wolves the evil empire.
Yeah.
But, you know, Kevin was the GM of that organization for 12 years, and my opinion is that he's a very shrewd hockey man. He knows how to do things, how to get things done. He obviously knew how to make that team very good for a long time, and his four championships two in the IHL, two in the AHL, you know, to me that says a whole lot. I think a lot of people in hockey might dismiss those, saying, well, it was just the minor leagues, you know, I don't know, anybody could win in the minor leagues or whatever, but, you know, that's wrong if you know how the Chicago Wolves have operated their organization and did operate their organization under Kevin. They, for the large part, built their own teams through the wisdom and shrewdness of Kevin Cheveldayoff and others in that organization that helped them. But You know, Kevin was the to me was the man in charge of the evil empire, and they sure did a lot of good things there.
We're joined on the line by Tim Campbell. Tim's joining us live from the NHL Scouting Combine in Toronto. Now, Tim, I mean, many of our listeners are might be familiar with the NFL Scouting Combine because it's televised ad nauseum for hours upon hours upon hours. The NHL Training Combine, you know, what goes on there? You know, what sort of drills are being tested? You know, give us a little bit of insight into what's actually happening in Toronto this weekend.
Well, I'll have to confess to you, I in my life, I've maybe only ever watched 3 minutes of the NFL Combine.
Yeah, probably enough.
The NHL Combine starting to look like that, and this is the first time I've ever come to it, you know, and it's still going on in earnest here this morning. You know, it's just kind of a big ballroom, maybe a size of room you'd have a nice wedding in, and they've got the different physical tests, some bench press, some leaping, vertical leap, and then you know, the jumping leap, and then the bike test, and then the you know, the oxygen test on the bike. All these stations set up on the perimeter of the room, and basically all the GMs and scouts are in the middle. There's some chairs, and they're just kind of observing everything. It's in a way like a bit of a meat market here. These kids are on display. They move through the stations and do their thing, and you know, their test results go up on the big screen, and they come and do some interviews, and then some of them go and throw up behind the curtains, and some of them just go home and have a nice lunch. So it's different for everybody, but the scouts sort of get a little bit of a flavor about some of the physical characteristics and capabilities of these young players. They spent earlier in the week going through interviews with various teams, all the rated prospects, some players more interviews than others, but the scouts and GMs are just trying to get to know these prospects and get a handle on why or why not they should pick them at the draft in 3 weeks.
Tim, I don't mean to put you on the spot at all, and I hope I'm not. Number 7 is the pick that the Winnipeg franchise, Manitoba franchise, whatever the heck it's called, has. You know, we're hearing it's kind of a solid top 5. Haven't really seen many of these players play, but some talk about somebody like Ryan Strom being considered. Do you know of any? I guess it's hard to see who, you know, it's hard to get an idea of who the team's going to pick if you don't even know who's drafting the team, but can you maybe give some names of who could be in that, you know, that draft slot?
Well, I can't give you very much, not that I wouldn't, but the honest truth is, you know, that's one area of this NHL story for Winnipeg I have not paid much attention to until just the last couple of days. You know, I can tell you, I spoke to Ryan Strome yesterday, just, you know, an interview after his testing. He's a nice young man. He talks very fast. He's got a lot to say.
I know what that's like.
He's an extremely talented hockey player, and you know, just chatting with a few of my colleagues here in this Ontario area, he played in Niagara Falls, I believe, this year, and you know, lots of highlight reel kind of goals and plays that he was responsible for with his team this year. So clearly, a player with some talent, and that's right around the number where the Winnipeg team will be drafting. So I guess that's a possibility. One of the other players I talked to yesterday was Sean Couturier. I think he's maybe rated a little higher than that 7 spot, but I had a couple of reporters tell me yesterday that his stock isn't locked in stone in this draft. It'll depend on the team's drafting and what they need, and that he's a possibility to fall down a few places depending on how the round goes. So I guess he's another potential. You know, it seems like a pretty talented player and had a lot of success in the Quebec League, and is you know, he's got some hockey in his blood, as you well know. His father was a pro player, including in the NHL for some time, so that's always a good sign. He seemed like an optimistic kind of young guy to me yesterday, so those two names I suppose are in the mix. But beyond that, you know, there's many, many, many possibilities, and I'm not all the way done with my homework on that yet.
Yeah, Tim, we appreciate that analysis, and I think Couturier is currently ranked 6th by Central Scouting.
He's fallen a lot.
We want to get back to Kevin Cheveldayoff, who you mentioned earlier, and we asked you about. Do you expect that if Kevin Cheveldayoff is hired as GM, there will be a stipulation that he won't be basically announced as the GM until after the draft because of the knowledge that he has of the Chicago Blackhawks draft plans?
You know, I suppose that's possible. That would be something maybe that, you know, the Winnipeg and Chicago organizations would have to work out if you know, if the Blackhawks are going to agree to let them talk and or negotiate with Kevin. I honestly don't know how that works. And, you know, to me, it's a bit of a delicate area, and it's different with different teams, I would venture a guess, in that, you know, really the hard work and the bulk and the core of the work about the draft is done by the scouts.
Right.
And GMs maybe don't have as much to do with it as you'd like to think. Clearly, it's always their decision. Most smart GMs put the matter in the hands of their chief scout, which is why they're paying them. Assistant GMs, now that's different. Some assistant GMs are more into prospects and development. Others are more into scouting and that end of things. And I honestly don't know what the case is with Kevin and the Blackhawks. Maybe the wise thing is to just sort of recuse yourself from the process. But, I mean, really when you think about it, you know, he might have some knowledge of Blackhawks' you know, choices, but in the at the end of the day, really, is he going to sabotage something? I would highly doubt it. I would think he's a man of more repute than that. But certainly, the conflict of interest will have to be addressed, because you certainly don't want that hanging over any transaction if he is in fact going to leave the Blackhawks and come to Winnipeg.
Last question, Tim. You know, we hear about Kevin Cheveldayoff. We've talked about him for the majority of this interview. Have you heard anything about possible cap specialists brought in? Because as far as I know, Cheveldayoff and Huizinga would be focused more on the player personnel angle. Have you heard anything along those lines?
I have not.
Okay. And do you think that, I mean, it seems like almost every team has one these days. I would assume that this team would probably want to hire one, but are you under the same assumption?
Yeah, if given a vote, I would vote yay on that. I don't really know in this day and age of this particular system in the NHL how you can get by without one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the only proviso I might put on that is I'm not sure they'll be in a huge hurry to go run out and find that person, you know, if they're going to hire that person, because, and I don't know, tell me what you think of this, but I'm pretty sure, based on comments we've heard in the past from Mark Chipman and a few others at True North, is that this isn't a team that plans to spend to the cap.
Right.
And so if you're a mid-cap team and you're not pushing that upper number in any way, shape, or form, certainly you need to be well-versed in the provisions of the CBA. But, you know, a capologist may not be a top priority if you're just planning to be at the midpoint all the time. You know, give or take a million or two as far as your number goes. I think it's a little less important, but in the grand scheme of things and over a longer period of time, you do need somebody in charge of that to make sure nothing goes awry, because it's a very serious matter, as there are some teams like the Calgary Flames and even the Vancouver Canucks this year who,
sure,
you know, basically ran the whole season within, you know, a nickel or a dime of the cap every day. You know, you need to have somebody on that, and it's an everyday job.
Tim Campbell of the Winnipeg Free Press joining us live from Toronto. It's been great to actually talk hockey with you, Tim.
Absolutely.
We appreciate it, as always.
I have enjoyed it. Thanks.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Tim. We'll talk
Tim.
To you soon.
Really good.
Yeah,
I mean, that's what we want to talk about. Tim is candid. He gives you his opinion, honest.
Yeah.
And I'm very, you know what, very interested to see who the GM is, who, if there is a capologist, who I assume there will be, who the draft pick's going to be. I mean, these are all the
exciting things
points.
We get to talk about now. The hypotheticals
even
are done.
Even beyond the tickets and the name, and the name. This is what I like the best.
Yeah, exactly. Richie was also, Andrew, was also good to get our mind off of Drive to 13,000 and actually talk about hockey, right?
My mind's not off Drive to 13,000. We got about 100 minutes until the tickets go on sale.
How many seconds?
I don't know about seconds, but about around 100 minutes until Drive to 13 kicks off to the public and season tickets are made available. We're going to be with you right up until that moment. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, live on Sports Radio 1290. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. So we just had a special guest, our good buddy Hustler, popped in.
What is that?
Timmy, you want to rave tonight? Some sort of dream sequence? Is that what we're on here? Some sort of dream sequence?
The Drive to 13,000 dream sequence.
Yeah.
Sequence.
Exactly.
Sequence.
I dream that I get tickets. That's exactly how that worked. Anyways, big thank you to
P2,
Tim.
Baby.
Big thank you to Tim Campbell of the Winnipeg Free Press for just joining us. We said it in the interview, I've said it a couple times now. It's just so great to actually talk hockey. You know,
it'd actually be funny and interesting, and just because, you know,
Dan right now, the saddest thing, even if it's nice out tomorrow, this is from yesterday. My cousin Dan, even if it's nice out tomorrow, I bet you every Winnipegger will be in front of their computer at noon. It'd be interesting. It's not that nice out today. But if it were nice, they'd take a picture of the streets.
They'd be empty.
Yeah, like, you know, similar to like Vancouver games.
Everybody that, do you know anybody who's not going to be in front of a computer today?
Not really.
It's funny, guys. Isn't this like the anti-Portage in Maine? It's like everyone goes to Portage in Maine. It's outside. Everyone's running around, like, celebrating. And then this is like, you're at your computer, so nervous, so anxious, just clicking a mouse. It's, yeah. I think I made my point.
Yeah, you did. It's going to be obsessive starting at 12 noon today. It's going to be quick. It's not going to last long. I mean, if you're getting on at 12:02,
you're done.
That's it. It's not going to happen for you. The numbers don't work any other way.
Is it true you've hired small children to log on for you?
I've outsourced my take to India.
And that's a lot. I'll tell you what, there's going to be a lot of credit card fraud going on.
Remus has
an
entire call center.
Yeah, Remus hired out a call
working on it. Right even though True North isn't taking calls.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. It's a
we got
logic.
We go got ahead, an email Richie. From Derek Curtis. I believe that's his name. It's an email talking about how you'd like to see somebody like a Winnipegger or a Manitoba guy like Travis Hamonic. Manitoba, right?
Played for the Wheat Kings.
I don't think the Islanders are going to be giving him up, but, you know, creative defenseman like that obviously is somebody they'd want to add. But players of that type, maybe. But to be the truth be told, I think they're going to address offense first, Eric. I think that's what they're going to do.
Yeah, this team is, we've documented that they're overpaid on the blue line, but they're loaded. They're a pretty solid top six on the blue line.
They're not loaded per se, Drew, but they have a lot of talent and they could become a lot better.
Yeah.
But I think they want to address offense. And the truth is with that defenseman right now, they have a couple of guys called what's the other guy's name? Paul Posma. They could probably throw up in a little bit. So, yeah, they're going to focus on offense. And obviously, you'd want to draft defensemen if you can. I mean, they can still add a defenseman. The problem is all the cap situation. What are you going to do with all that money? So offense is probably going to be the goal here.
When it comes to the seventh
and,
overall.
You know, offense, defense, and the goaltender.
Yeah.
Well, Drew, like this is a little bit off topic, but it is on topic as far as the NHL draft goes. On TSN, they were really having a good debate last night at the draft combine. Does Edmonton?
You watch it?
Does Edmonton a little bit? I was also watching the Jays game.
Okay.
Just so you know, my credibility is still high.
Okay.
But they were discussing, Richie, if Edmonton should go after Adam Larson because they have a little bit of a weakness on defense, or should they go for the best player, which is, you know, Landeskog or Nugent Hopkins, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I'd have to go with, right now, I think it would be great to get a Hamonic, but I really think their priority is going to be, like we talked about earlier, getting a guy like an Upshaw or a Ryder on the free agent market and then trying to draft the best forward that they can at that seventh overall spot and trying to land a Jeff Skinner-like player.
And guys in that area are Landeskog has been mentioned of being the most NHL-ready. He'll probably go, obviously, before that. Nugent Hopkins, Jonathan Huberdeau has shot way up since the Mem Cup, kind of his whole run in the second half of the season. Those are a couple of the guys. And then defensemen like Hamilton, Walu, I believe is how you pronounce it. Couturier is shot down a bit.
And then Ryan Strome.
Sven Bjarke, I don't know how you pronounce that. Strome, obviously, has been the kind of guy we've been hearing about. So those have been some names, obviously, guys. Adam Larson's in the picture. There's a lot of names that are going to move around a bit.
And
I haven't seen enough of these guys play to comment, though.
And don't worry about it. Stick with the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're, of course, going to preview the draft in its entirety well before it begins on that Friday.
One of us might be in Minneapolis, even.
Yeah, we're thinking about that, making the road trip down there. But we're definitely going to stick with us here on IC, and you're going to know everything you ever wanted to know about any of those top prospects.
We should have
the next couple weeks.
Excuse me, Drew. Sorry to interrupt there. We should have a prospect analysis of Carl Klingberg, a Winnipeg franchise prospect now by our scouting correspondent, Kyle Kozier, posted this afternoon.
Okay, so there you go. Check out www.illegalcurve.com for all your information regarding this team, the draft, everything you want to know about the NHL and its return to Winnipeg will be available at www.illegalcurve.com. Guys, let's head to commercial break. When we come back on the other side, Doc Emrick is going to join us to talk the Stanley Cup Finals. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show, Drive to 13,000, live on Sports Radio 1290.